Morning. Yishkach to everyone attending in the weather today. Tonight being the first Hadlaka of Neiros Chanukah for this year, I'd like to go through some of the basic halachas and their sources of the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neir Chanukah. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos and Daf Kaf Aleph from Beis, Tana Rabbanan, mitzvahs Chanukah near Yishu Beisa, that the original mitzvah of Chanukah was near Yishu Beisa, which means that there was one candle lit for the entire household. The mirrors. Every night of Chanukah, one candle was lit by one person for the entire household. The first night, the second night, the third night, etc. The Mahadrin, and then the mitzvah developed that there were Mahadrin, people that wanted to do the mitzvah in even a more special form. So, Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad. So the Mahadrin is Omadlik Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad, which means that one candle was lit per member of the household. So that means that if there were five members in the household, so instead of lighting one candle every night, they would light five candles every night. Because Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad. So again, the initial hadlaka was one candle for the entire family, and then the Mahadrin lit per person. So that means if there were five people in the house, every night five candles. If there was 10 people in the house, so every night 10 candles. The Mahadrin min the Mahadrin, and the even more preferred way was a machlokas b'shamay and b'silu what to do. B'shamay omrim yamrisha madik shmona mikan ve'elach poches v'holech. That b'shamay says the first night 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and b'silu omrim yamrisha madik echad mikan ve'elach mosi v'holech. And the more preferred way of doing it was the first night one candle, the second night 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, etc. And the Gemara then goes on and discusses the reason for Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Let's focus on Beis Hillel because that's how we paskin like. So the Gemara gives two reasons for Beis Hillel. On the fourth line, the time of the Beis Hillel keneged yomim hayotzim. That the reason for Beis Hillel is that we should light the amount of candles based on how many days have passed. So the first day means one day is passing, the second day 2 days are passing, etc. So this way we know exactly which day in the miracle we're holding by. And Beis Shammai has a different reason, we won't get into that now. And then the second thing that the Gemara says for the reason of Beis Hillel, time of the Beis Hillel further on that line, the Malam Bakodesh Vein Marid. That Beis Hillel's opinion is that when it comes to Devarim Shebekedusha, you always have to go in ascending order and not in descending order. So, in essence, the Gemara has two reasons for Beis Hillel. Either Keneged Yomim Hayotzim, that you'll know which day you're up to, how many days have left. And the other reason is the Malam Bakodesh Vein Marid. Now, what's unclear in the Gemara is the following. We said originally the original takana of Ner Chanukah was to light one candle per night. And then the more preferred way was to do per household member. So 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, or 10, 10, 10, whatever it is. Now the third way, when it comes to what's considered the supreme way, the Gemara just says you do in ascending order. But the Gemara never explains, does that mean that, well, that's all you do? Or does that mean that it's building on the previous Mahadran? Namely, the Mahadran was that everyone, there's a candle connected to every household member in the house. So now, when we're going to do an ascending order, is the pshat that we're going to do it connected to the how many household members and in ascending order. So that would mean if there are five household members, so instead of doing like the Mahadran do five, five, five every night, five. So Mahadran and Mahadran is suggesting that you do five the first night, then 10, then 15, then 20. In other words, so this way you're building on everything that was said till now. In other words, till now we said the first thing was to light one. 1, 1, 1, 1. The second was to light 5, 5, 5, 5. The third is to light in ascending order, but there's mustaber, that means that it should be taking into account the amount of people, because it would make sense to say that Mahadran and a Mahadran means whatever Mahadran has to offer, Mahadran and a Mahadran is that plus more. And that would be the simple reading of the Gemara. And that's how the Rambam, if you look at number 3, you'll see that that's how the Rambam, if you look in Halacha Beis, the Rambam says, Ketzad harei shehayu anshei habayis asara, if the people in the house were 10, b'alai l'risho manlik asara, neiros, b'lel sheni esrin, b'lel shlishi shloshim, atchenimta madlik b'lel shmini, shmonim neiros. In other words, the Rambam says that it's building on what was said before. So that means if they're household member, there were 10 in the household. So the first night 10, the second night 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. And that is the Rambam's opinion, that each part of the Gemara, there were three stages, the Neri Shubeso, the original Takana, then the Mahadran, and the Mahadran in that order. However, Tosfos, on number 2, which we skipped, Tosfos says, no, nirlari, de beishame beisil lokaimi ela aner yishu beiso. That the beishame beisil, when they say their opinion of ascending or descending, they are not referring back to the Mahadran. They go back on the original Gemara. The original Gemara was one candle every night. So they're saying, instead of just doing one candle every night, you should do it in ascending order or in descending order. But nothing to do with the family members. In other words, so there was the first initial takana of one every night, then it was about the family members. Now number 3 goes back to number 1 and, you know, makes number 1 even a better kiyum, but nothing to do with number 2. In other words, so when you get to number 3 of ascending order, according to Beis Hillel, you do not have any taking into account of how many household members there are. So according to Tosfos, the way it would be is the first night there would be one menorah with one candle. The second night there would be one menorah with 2 candles. The third night one menorah with 3 candles for the whole household. And that would be the way that Tosfos says that you're supposed to do it. Whereas the Rambam's opinion is that no, that it makes sense that the third step of Mahadran Min HaMahadran is building on Mahadran, and therefore anything that Mahadran had to offer, namely the household members, should be coupled now with the idea of ascending. So if there were 5 household members, 5, 10, 15, 20. 10 household members, first night 10, 20, 30, 40, etc. So where does this machlokas stem from? So Tosfos explains, if you look further in the Tosfos, Nir Lari, the Beishamu Beis Hillel, Lokaimi, El Aner Yishu Beiso,
Shekin yesh yosur hidr d'ike hekerik shemosif v'holech v'b'chaser shum negid yamun v'nechnasim v'yotzim. V'mosif ne'an l'chol echad afil yosif mikan v'eilach leke hekerik sheyizbru shekach yesh b'nei odom b'bayis.
In other words, Tosas is saying is that if you light, based on the Rambam, lighting 5 the first night, 10 the second night, so somebody's going to come by your house and they're going to see 5 candles. So they're going to have no clue of what night it is. It won't be evident. They're going to see 5 candles, they'll think maybe it's the fifth night, maybe it's the first night. They'll see 10 candles on a given night. They have no clue. Does that mean that there are 10 people in the household and it's really the first night? Maybe there are 5 people in the household and it's the second night. It won't be clear at all as to what night we're holding by. And therefore, Beis Shammai says that since the reason of Beis Hillel is keneged the Yomim Hayotzim, so therefore there should be some recognition of where we're holding. So therefore, Beis Shammai, therefore, that's why Tosa says that even though it would make sense to follow the Rambam's opinion and do it in ascending order with the computation of how many people are in the house, but since we're going to be lacking on the basic knowledge of Yomim Hayotzim, so therefore the Takana of the Mahadrim and the Mahadrim was not to take into account the amount of people in the household, but rather to just go in ascending order, having one menorah. Now, the Rambam obviously did not agree to that, because the Rambam says that if there are 5 members in the household, 10 members in the household, so the first night you light 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. So what is the machlokas between the Rambam and Tosas? So the Beis Halevi, in his Sefer on Chumash, so in the middle of the Sefer, when he gets to the Parshiyos of Vayeshev and Miketz, he has a bunch of pages specifically on the Hilchos Chanukah. And in the middle of this page, if you look, go down a little bit, the last word on the line is Harambam. Harambam. So he says, because of Hagro, the Taritz Das Harambam, the Svirle, the Lachman Dom, and the Farsh Tandabish, Shami Keneget Poriachag, with the Basil Mishumalam Bakodish, Lo Ichpos Le Klal, Shayuhaneris Kemispar Hayomim. Very Kaimalon, the Lachman Dom, like in the Pasik Migmara. In other words, the Vilna Gaon, he quotes the Vilna Gaon. This Vilna Gaon, if you want to see it inside, you can find it in the back of the Tiferes Yisrael, Mishnayis, the Yochanan Boaz Mishnayis of the Tiferes Yisrael, in Masechta Bikurim, where he has Likutim on their various topics in Shas, and that's where the Vilna Gaon is to be found. The Beis Halevi quotes it, so we didn't have to quote the original as well, but... So he says the answer is simple. The Rambam doesn't paskin of the reason of Yomim Hayotzim. There were 2 reasons. We started off that the Gemara has 2 different reasons for Beis Hillel, either Yomim Hayotzim or Malam Bakodesh. So the Rambam holds that we paskin for Malam Bakodesh. So as long as you Malam Bakodesh, so that's sufficient. You don't need to have any other knowledge of this, of which night it is. That's not part of our necessity, that's not part of our chiyuv. So Mamela, that's why the Rambam is not concerned whether you will have the Yomim Hayotzim. So just light 5 candles, 10, 15, no one's going to have any clue what night it is, so what? Malam Bakodesh Reimah Ridim, that's our sole concern. Whereas Beis Hillel says, our concern is about, whereas Tosas rather says that our concern is the night, the Yomim Hayotzim. So therefore, he makes sure that there should be only one menorah, and therefore you would have a knowledge of where the of what night it is, and that's how the Vilna Gaon explains the machlokas between the Rambam and Tosas. There is a famous explanation from the Brisker Rav, we'll see later in our discussion about the Yesod of Mahadran, but I think this is a, you know, what we'll present maybe is a more simple explanation. Now, the Beis Halevi in the beginning of the piece says another important point on the second line in number 4. Lechora, second word, in second line. Lechora, may not kemina beklut tezu. He says, what difference does it make in this machlokas? So we said already, the Gross is a nafkamina. Whether you hold like the Rambam or Tosis is a nafkamina, whether it's the Yomim HaYotzim or is it Malim HaKodesh. But he says another nafkamina. There's a famous piece in the Chayodim about this as well. And that is, what happens? L'chor yesh lomer ve'ein lo neiros l'chol ha-tzorach v'gom b'lel shlishi ve'ein lo rak shnei neiros. What happens if on the third night of Hanukkah you're stuck and you only have 2 neiros? So what should you do? Should you light whatever you have? You don't have 3. So should you light whatever you have? Or should you say, look, if I don't have 3, I might as well just light 1 because I'm not doing the Mahadran and Mahadran anyway. So what's the point of lighting 2? Might as well just light 1, which is the Iker HaMitzvah. What do I gain with 2? So the Beis Halevi says it's totally in this machlokas. Because if you hold that there's an inyan of Yomim HaYotzim to know exactly what night it is, so then if I'm not lighting 3, then I'm not fulfilling that in the Mahadrim and the Mahadrim category, then I just might as well light 1, which is the Iker HaMitzvah. I don't get anything by lighting 2. But according to the other opinion, that it's Malam Bakodesh Vein Loridim, that the reason is that you should always be going, you shouldn't be going down. So then, says the Beis Halevi, it makes sense to light 2. Because if you light 2, at least, because there's no inyan of knowing, as we said before, what night it is. So if you light 2, at least you're not going down. True, granted, you're not going up, but at least you're not going down. So there's something to say for lighting 2 candles. Oh. Now, you know, just skip to number 6 for a second. There's a famous comment from the Taz on this comment. He says, we know that the minhag of the Sfardim is that they light only 1 menorah for the whole household. That's minhag of Sfardim, and that's like the opinion of Tosus. Tosus is that there's 1 menorah, right? You don't light connected the amount of people in the household. You can have 15 people in the household, so it's 1 menorah for the whole household. And the Ashkenazim will see light multiple menorahs connected every single person in the household, which is similar to the Rambam's opinion. So the Taz makes this famous comment on the 2 lines, the last whole line, the line that begins with Bilel Sheni, in number 6. Uvekan yesh chidush b'minag. He says it's a chidush b'minag, shasfardim nogim ketosis, v'ashkenazim karambam, v'zelo matzina b'shar makomus. So that's the famous comment that the Taz says, because the Sfardim always follow the Rambam's opinion, right? There's going to be many different halachas. Sfardim always with the Rambam and the Ashkenazim. Usually, when there's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Balei HaTosfos, so the Ashkenazim usually go with the Balei HaTosfos, and the Sfardim go with the Rambam. And here, the Sfardim are going with the Balei HaTosfos, and the Ashkenazim are going with the Rambam. So that's what he points out, but it's not 100% accurate. And that, I think, Rav Dov Cohen has in one of his Sfarim points this out, that if you look at the Rambam in Halacha Gimel, even though he says this whole thing, but he still writes in Halacha Gimel in number 3, Minat Pashat B'chol HaRegu B'Sfarat Sheyukalat Sheyabais Madlikim Ner Echad B'Laila Rishon Mosifim V'Holchim Ner L'Chol Laila Ad Shenimtza Madlik B'Lal Shmini Shmona Neiros. In other words, what's called the Minat Gatosis is found in the Rambam as well. It's just that that wasn't his Muskel Rishon. You know, he said what he thought the pshat in the Gemara is, but in the end of the day, he said the minhag pashut is not like that. Even the Rambam admits to that. So, So what the Taz makes it sound, even if we wouldn't have had Halacha Gimel, then I would say, oh yeah, it's really something remarkable. Once the Rambam, as I think Rabbi David Cohen writes in the Sefer, once the Rambam says Halacha Gimel, so then it's not such, okay, it's interesting that that was his initial Muskel Rishon, but it's not so, you know, it's not so remarkable as we would have thought it was, you know, without Halacha Gimel. Okay, now in Shulchan Aruch, in number 4, it's brought down, Kamaneiras Madlik, Belela Rishon Madlik Echad, Mikan Veilach, Mosif Olech, Echad B'cholayla, Chabalel Achman, Yibushmona. So that's the Mechaber quotes the opinion of the Tosis, that one menorah. A few Rabin B'nei Abayis, you only leave one menorah. And then the Ramah writes, Yishon B'chol Echad B'nei Abayis Yadlik, and he says that's the Rambam. So he says that everyone should light one menorah. So everyone should light their own menorah, and in the parenthesis he says that's the Rambam. So the truth of the matter is that this is really not the Rambam, because the Rambam never spoke about everyone lighting their own menorah. The Rambam only spoke about one person lighting a menorah on behalf of the whole family, taking into account the night and how many family members there were. According to the Rambam, it's one. I mean, you don't necessarily have a menorah. You know, there's a, you know, because if you have 80 candles, you're not going to find such a menorah. But you'll just light 80 cups of oil. You know, on the eighth night, you know, without a menorah. There's a discussion in the Avnei Nezer whether there's an inyan of having a menorah, a structure of a menorah. Well, who says there's an inyan to have a menorah on Hanukkah? Just maybe it's enough just to have 8 receptacles. It's more convenient. You have a menorah, it won't get pushed over or something like that. But who says that you have to have a menorah? It's not so clear. That's the discussion in the Avnei Nezer. So the Ramah says, well, we have this minhag that everyone likes. So the question, the big question is, where did the Ramah get that from? And he pins it on the Rambam. I mean, the Rambam never really said that. So maybe you could say, well, the Rambam, you know, was a fair person. So you could say, you know, you're lighting connected to all the people in the household, so let them each light for themselves, you know. Why have everyone? Why have the Baal Bayis board the whole hadlaka? You know, let this. If there are 10 members and you're lighting connected each member, so let him light and him light. Would the Rambam necessarily be against it? Lav dafka. You know, as long as they're all being lit, that should be sufficient. The only problem is. Yeah, what's the problem? The only problem is that we're not just having all the family members light. We're having all the family members make a bracha. And that's already, startling. That now would be marba brachas. It's a big shiloh of a bracha of atala. In fact, in the Sefer Galya Masechta, was Rav David of Navardik, who's one of the great svarim, who's very... Chashuv a Sefer, and he's not afraid of saying original ideas, even arguing on other people. And he says he thinks that what the Ramah is saying, you see, if you look carefully at the Ramah never said to make that everyone makes a bracha. It's assumed that that's what the Ramah meant, but he never said it beferish. He says everyone should be madlik. Most probably, it means everyone's making bracha unless everyone's together at the time. Then the Baal Bayis makes one bracha for everyone. That's a general halacha, that when everyone's together and doing one mitzvah together, you should really only supposed to make one bracha. Okay, for example, Friday night you have kiddush, and there's other married couples at your table. So the proper thing really is that, you know, in some circles, especially in Hasidic circles, they'll go around the table and every single man will make kiddush. You can plots already. You know, every single man is going to make their own kiddush, and that's especially in Hasidic circles of people who are influenced by certain Hasidic circles. Everyone has to make kiddush. Everyone. So really, the pashut pshat in halacha is not that way. It's that there's a concept of rovam hadras melach, And that means that one person makes kiddush for everybody. So if somebody would come to my house and they would ask me, I wouldn't deny it for them, but I wouldn't necessarily initiate the idea that everyone should make their own kiddush. So it could be that's the way they did it by Chanukah menorah. The whole family was together and one person made the bracha. But certainly the way we do it today is everyone makes their own, every kid in the family, and they're all making their own brachas. So the Galia Masechta, he's the one who finally got up one day and he writes in the tshuva. He thinks it's a bracha levatala. He thinks that it's incorrect. But most people don't follow the Galia Masechta and still have this minhag of having everyone make their own bracha. So where did the Ramah get this from? So there's a famous piece in the Brisker Rav I'm not going to go into, where he has a whole philosophy about Hiddur Mitzvah and how the Rambam fits into Hiddur Mitzvah, Lagavi Bris Mila, and a whole complicated thing about this point. But I would suggest the easiest way, if you really want to know what the Ramah meant on any given topic, you look in the Ramah's own Sefer, in the Darkei Moshe. In the Darkei Moshe, on the next page, in page 7, he explains exactly what he meant. And he says, it could be that the Brisker Rav's idea is a true idea nonetheless, but I don't know if you need it, if you have to come on to that the Brisker Rav gives a whole lumbus. He says, very simple. He says very simple that Hadlakas Neiros, the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros, changed from the way it originally was instituted. The way the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros was originally instituted was that everyone lit outside, right? So your audience for Hadlakas Neiros was the street people. That was your main audience. That's why Bizman Chazal, if you didn't light in the first half an hour after it got dark, that's it, you finished, because your audience is gone. They didn't have any street lights, so after that first half an hour, when it was getting dark, people were still doing their last minute things and rushing home. And then, pitch dark, and no one was on the streets till the next morning. So if you didn't get it in then, that's it. You couldn't light anymore. But today, the Gemara says that misakana ve'elach, that since there was a sakana to light from the goyim to light outside, they said manicha al shulchanu v'dayo, that it's sufficient that you leave it on your table, and your audience is the inside, the people of the household. So in the mail, if that be the case, you could light any time, as long as you're there or other people are there. In other words, you don't have that limit of the half an hour, because your melicha shulchano, your audience is the b'nei bayis. It's no longer the people of the street. Oh, so says the Darkei Moshe. That's pshat in the Ramah. What the Ramah is saying is that originally people, in other words, he's saying like this: the Rambam is not against the Yom. In other words, if the Rambam could get the fulfillment of Malam HaKodesh and Yomim HaYotzim, even though he prefers that the Iker reason is the Malam HaKodesh, but if you can fulfill the Yomim HaYotzim also, so Matov. So when you were lighting outside in the street, so the Rambam says, so you're not going to get the idea of Yomim Yotzim, because people don't know how many people in your house. So rather just go with the Malam Bakodesh and forget about the Yomim HaYotzim. But today we're lighting inside. So inside, everyone knows how many household members there are. So if there are 10 candles, and they people know that there are 5 household members, so everyone in the household knows it's the second night. So therefore the Rambam would say that in a situation where we're lighting inside, so now we could do it in a way to fulfill the Malam Bakodesh and the Yomim HaYotzim. And furthermore, he writes, especially that you're lighting inside, so you can light in different places in the house. so you'll know for sure what night it is and how many people. So Mamela, that's what he writes. He says, L'didon shamaglikim b'fnim, yodim b'bayis kama b'nei odom b'bayis v'lech l'meich Hashem yomu kach b'nei odom him b'bayis avod asatosis m'nagenu nochom. V'odim l'yachad shamaglikim b'fnim kol echad v'echad yochol l'hadlik b'mokom yuchad l'obayu l'hadlik kulam b'tefach asomach l'pesach, etc. And that's Mamela, that's how it changed, and Mamela, that's how so the question is, even if this is true, the Galdi Masechta would still say, okay, that's good if you want to make a bracha, but who says you have a right to, that everyone else should make a bracha? So again, if you look carefully, the Ramon never spoke about everyone making a bracha. That is clearly the practice, the Ramon never said it beferish. It's assumed, Okay. The Mishnah Berurah number 8 has a famous comment, and that is that even if we're going to have everyone light Bizman Hazer, like the Ramos thing of a Mahadrin and a Mahadrin, so that doesn't apply to your wife. The Ishto Kigufo, and that doesn't apply to your wife. Your wife should not light with a bracha. Therefore, probably not light at all. And the Chasam Sofer has his famous comment that the reason why women weren't knowing not to light Neiros Chanukah is because Neiros Chanukah was usually lit outside. The original takana was to light outside, and it was a big social scene. And therefore, the women called Kvud Bas Melech Panima, they stayed home and they didn't light. Like the Aruch HaShulchan writes about Tashlich and things like that, different religious ceremonies that became social scenes. So that's Minag of Rov Yisrael, is that a married woman does not light her own menorah. Rav Salveitchik, quoted by Rav Shecht in the Nefesh HaRav, thought, Mehechi Tesi Yishto Kegufo, that's a halacha concept in other areas, and they should light. And the Mishnah Berurah realized that as well, that it's a halacha concept of the areas. He's just saying that the minhag to have kol echad be madlik was never said by Ishto. The only question the poskim have is if, say, the husband's on a business trip and he's not together with his wife on that particular night, so then is a discussion that maybe then in that situation it would be appropriate for each of them to light. So I usually tell people that the Ishto Nesua does not have to light unless she insists that she wants to. So then she could follow this opinion that Rav Salveitchik said and she could light. But it's not like you have to, say that she Dafka has to light. But it is a good idea, as various different Makoros post can say, that if they're lighting one Hadlaka, they should try to wait for each other. And wait, whoever comes home later, whoever has the higher paying job and is coming home later, they should wait for the other one and light. And that's how some various poskim. There's a famous story with the Chofetz Chaim's Rebbe, a different Rebbe Badi mentioned that they should wait for each other. Okay. Okay, the Zman of Adlokas Neiros, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Gemara says, is again from Tishka Chama, Acher Tichla Regel Min Hashuk. And Tosus, as I said before, Tosus says in number 11 that Mikan Ve'elach, that if you take longer than that, then you can't light anymore. But then he writes at the end, number 11, Ulari nira da'ata ein lochosh masa yadlik, da'anu ein lanu hakeire elu b'nei habayis. Today it doesn't really matter. I mean, there is a halacha, as we'll see soon, you're not supposed to eat a meal before you do a mitzvah. That's why whenever you do a mitzvah, you're supposed to do the mitzvah first and then eat. This comes up all the time with the person, Davin's Marev. So say this time of year, where it gets dark early, so the Zman of Chiyuv Maariv is already around 5 o'clock, you could already daven Maariv, and a lot of people say don't daven Maariv till 8 o'clock or 10 o'clock, and they're gonna already eat their meal. So there's a halacha that you're not allowed to eat a meal before you do a mitzvah. And here's the mitzvah of Maariv, the mitzvah of Kriyashma, all these different mitzvahs. So some poskim say that if you have a minyan kavua, if every night you know you go to a certain Maariv, a 10 o'clock Maariv, an 8 o'clock Maariv, and it's you do it bekvias, so then many poskim hold that you could daven, you could eat before you daven Maariv, since you have that minyan kavua. But if you don't have the minyan kavua, so then there's a real isser of eating. So then, as many people do, and the Shecht always says this over, then one should, as many point out, one should rather daven b'yichidus. If you don't have a minyan kavua, then it's better to daven b'yichidus than to eat supper before you daven maariv. Unless you have a minyan kavua, or unless you have some type of heker, maybe if you have an alarm clock that's going to remind you. But if you don't have a minyan kavua, then it's very questionable whether you should eat a meal before you daven maariv. So the same thing comes up by tikiya shofar. This became a minag in the yeshivas. You see, in the yeshivas, they daven very long. So they can finish Rosh Hashanah davening 3 o'clock. So if you're not going to let them make Kiddush, everyone will faint before the end of davening. So therefore, the minhag in the yeshivas became that before Tekiyah Shofar, you have a hefsek and you make Kiddush, and eat. In the regular shuls, it wasn't such a minhag. With the regular shuls, even if they daven long, they'll finish. They don't daven that long. It doesn't go to 3 or 4 o'clock like in the yeshivas. So then they could go home, don't have a kiddush, and go home. But the question is, what about the minhag yeshivas? What does this come from? So, Rav Henkin, in the Ezra's Torah calendar, Ad HaYom HaZeh, if you look in the Ezra's Torah calendar, where it has the Pesachim of Rav Henkin, it's printed every year, in the Ezra's Torah calendar, he says that it's not correct for the people who make kiddush before shofar blow on Rosh Hashanah. It's not a correct thing. You're not supposed to eat before shofar. And he says the best thing, if you need, there are weaker people and need to eat, the best thing is blow the first shloshim kolos and then make kiddush. You know, one of the sodas of Judaism is that we never talk, hopefully, you know, throughout the, but he says that's less of an Indian than that Indian of not talking till you finish the 100 kolos. That's less of an Indian than to eat before. So that was Rav Henkin's psak, and that's the way it continues to be appear in the Ezra's Torah luach, the big luach that you have on the wall there every year. It's still printed that way. The other approach, Rabbi Kotler in Lakewood and others, you know, I guess Rav Henkin didn't have a yeshiva. Rav Aaron, he had a yeshiva, so he had to deal with the problem more than Rav Henkin had to deal with the problem. So the Pasha Trav, like Rav Shecht has mentioned, that if it's not a meal, if you're just eating a piece of cake, it's not a meal. So the Mikra Din, there's no issur of having a snack before you do a mitzvah, before Maariv. In other words, you need to snack on something, you can snack on something, but to have a meal, so if the Kiddush is something that's not going to be a whole meal, I guess Rav Henkin maybe felt that it'll become a meal. You know, you give a couple of Jews some Kiddush and Rosh Hashanah, who knows, one thing will lead to the next, and it'll end up being a meal. That's why, parenthetically, the same thing on Purim. On Purim, what do we do on Purim? We fast the whole Tainis Esther, and then we make everyone stay in shul for the Megillah. And then we can eat. Why don't we do it this way? Fast for Tainis Esther, go home, eat your meal, come back at 8 o'clock, and we'll hear the Megillah. Why don't we do that? So the answer is we don't do that for the same reason, that you're not supposed to eat a meal before you do the before you do a mitzvah. So that's why we don't do that. And that's the so the same thing by Hanukkah. That really you're not supposed to. So if the husband is waiting for the wife, and wife is waiting for the husband, so if the husband is you know, not coming home, he's in his law office till 11 at night, and he's not coming home till 11. So what are you going to tell her? Not to eat? So she'll eat, and she'll just have to have a hecker. She'll write, make a note, or set off, set an alarm for when he's coming home, that they should remember that, that to light the Neiros Chanukah. But in general, or this comes up sometimes, every once in a while, Baruch Hashem, you have chasimis during Chanukah. So the best thing, if you can light before the chasana, so by all means, light before the chasana. Then if you need to blow it out after half an hour, so be it. So you'll blow it out. But that's the best thing, if you can light before, but sometimes it doesn't work that way. That you're going to the chasana and you have to leave early and you have to pick up four different people on the way and it's a whole thing. So then sometimes you're going to have to light when you come home. So you have to make a hecker, you make a sign in a place that's noticeable. And then the assumption is that you can eat at the chasana. You're sure that they spent so much money on your plate and you're not gonna eat. So you might as well eat at the chasana, but just make sure you have a hecker. The Piskei Tosis, number 12, says a further chiddush that didan ein lachosh matay yaguhen ve'ein lashir. He says Tosis said, our Tosis says that today we light inside, so it doesn't matter whether you light it at 5:15 or at 10:15. The only issue is that you shouldn't, eat before and would make a hecker before. But he says a bigger chiddush that this whole idea that we always assume that Ner Chanukah has to have at least a half an hour's worth of oil or wax to light. He said that was only when they were lighting for outdoors. When they were lighting for outdoors, you had to leave it for half an hour. So this way you leave it for half an hour, so then the people would see. Because if you only leave it for 1 minute, so who says there'll be somebody out there for that 1 minute? You leave it a half an hour, so within the half an hour, Mistama, someone will see. But today, we're lighting for indoors. The people are right there. So light and blow it out. Show you. What do you need a shear for? In other words, the whole idea is that it should be seen at a certain point. So when you're lighting for outdoors, so you can never be sure that it's going to, that someone is going to be there at that moment. But if you last for half an hour, the stomach, someone will pass by within the half an hour. But if you're lighting for indoors, so here, the people are here now. Show you. So that's what the Piskei Tosis says, Mikra Din. We're not, we don't really follow this, I mean, but it's something, to think about. I mean, the question is it that we don't follow it, Mikra Din, or it's just the Chumra, but we try still to have the half an hour even. But the Piskei Tosis says, Mikra Din, he doesn't think it's really necessary, but even though we do try to follow it. And number 13 is the halacha that's brought down in different places. I quoted in Tafrei Shain Beis is telling you the din that you can light a third line. B'zman hazeh shavadlikim ifnim ein tzorach nizor v'hadlik kolum shetichla regel mashuk ozman lohik v'hadlik v'holech kol halayla. That's what we pass can make a din. You could light the Neiros Chanukah the whole night. It's not the preferred thing to do, but technically speaking, if you find yourself in a situation where you can't light Neiros Chanukah, so you light it the whole night until once Alos HaShachar comes, it's too late. But until Alos HaShachar, you could still light Neiros Chanukah. The Magen Avraham has a chiddush where he writes that. He writes in 14, "Ein tzarach lizar v'yadlik shehu laila b'nei beishu mikubotzim yachad tov lali kodem achila," like we said before. But and then he writes in the end, on number vav, the last two, "Hei nirali lahoros avalim yishenim ein levar chaleim." So this is the thing that Magen Avraham writes, that if you're lighting for the members of the household and you come home late and they're all asleep. So that's a question whether you can make a bracha or not. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that we paskin, you can make a bracha. That as long as you're awake, I hope so, you're lighting, so you're awake, so then you can make a bracha. Even though, in other words, the idea of Pirsume Nisa is a preference. It's something meritorious, but it's not Likuva. So in the end of the day, you're stuck on a desert island and it's only you and your menorah, and that's all, maybe a couple of goyim there, but that doesn't count for Pirsume Nisa. So then Rav Moshe Paskins, you can make a bracha on such. In other words, even though there's no Pirsume Nisa to someone else, but you could still make a bracha. Number three was the Mokom Hadlakas Neiros, that again, as we said, it used to be in the time of Chazal, he would light it near Mitzvah Lanichal Pesach Beisom Mibachutz. And if you lived on the second floor, then you put it in the window of the second floor. And then the Gemara says, "V'shasa sakana manichal shulchan avadaya." So one should always keep in mind that when you're lighting Neiros Chanukah, so the main thing that you're lighting for is bifnim. A lot of times people go out of their way to light in the window in a situation where it's not so safe to light in the window. There's some drapes there or something like that can get on fire, and they think that that's part of the chiyuv. It's not part of the chiyuv, b'zman hazeh. It's a nice thing if you can do it, if you can hop in the people from outside also, so ma tov. But if not, if you feel that the little kids around, and if you're going to be by the window, who knows that they can pull it or something like that, so it's preferable then to light on the table. You shouldn't think that you're not doing the mitzvah properly if you, the Gemara says, menichal shulchan avadaya, that that's the real, so the first consideration you should always take in mind when you're lighting your Neiros Chanukah is to light it in the safest place. That should always be your first consideration. And then if you can get some more hiddur into it, so do it as well. Like someone was just telling me the other day that they were, when they first got married, the only place in the apartment that had a window facing where some people would be was in a room that they never go into, so, and they're never going to be there. So as the fellow said, it didn't make any sense. If the whole hadlok is for them and they're not going to really be spending time in that room, so it makes more sense to light in a room, even though it's not going to be in the window, to light in the room where the people in the house are going to be frequenting that room. And that's preferable. Look, if you could do both, if you have a room where there's a window facing and you get the people from outside and indoors, so matov. But you have to realize that what takes preference. Of course, if there would be a heter for electric menorahs, that would solve the problem as well, but that hasn't. The minig is not that we don't accept electric menorahs, even though it's unclear. You know, usually when you have something where so much is written by it, why it's no good. So as people point out, it shows we're not really sure why it's no good. It's more, I think, a sociological reason that became things that conservative movement uses and things like that. So to be mavchin. So that became one of the reasons. But mitzad halacha, it's not so pashut. Why the most substantive reason that it's not good is that the poskim say that you need a shear of shemen in b'shas halacha. You need a shear of oil or candle at the time you light. And by electricity, you don't have that. Electricity is a constant flow, so it's not. It's like if you're pouring oil in, that's not good. You need oil in the receptacle at the time you light. So that's the problem. So then other poskim say, if that's your whole problem, I have a solution. Just use batteries, right? And batteries has it all there. Yet that's not the meaning also. But the key thing is that people should be very careful. You know, whenever there's a fire, unfortunately, in the history of Chanukah, especially in yeshivas, there have been, unfortunately, tragedies over the years. That's why in the tells yeshiva, the minig is that there's only one hadlaka in the base medrash. They don't let the bachrim. I think that's a very good minig, that they have one hadlaka in the base medrash for the whole yeshiva, and all the boys come and see the hadlaka, and that's it. And now don't let, the old days in the yeshiva over here, you would cross the street, you'd see the whole building was lit. Everyone lit in their room, and it was a nice sight, but it didn't necessarily work out for the best of the safety of everyone. And now they do other things in the hallway and in the vestibules, and you know, the same shailas come up every year, whether you can light there, you can't light there. Like, it's if this Hanukkah never existed before. Same shailas always come up every single year. But the key is that everyone has to be responsible, you know, and shouldn't do anything foolish, because the ultimate importance is the safety of everybody. Then the Gemara on number 17 speaks about Achsanoi. I see the next speaker is going to speak more about this, so he won't speak so much about it. Achsanoi, if you're in somebody's, you're a guest, so the Gemara says you're mishtatef bepruta. So the question is, why are you mishtatef bepruta? So the Mishnah Berurah says, so on number 19, he says, but the end of the piece of the Mishnah Berurah, we come up from Yeshlach Sinai near Nachon Yosef Ahadik Vatzma. See, this is a classic example where if you want to say a lambda shepshat, you can say a lambda shepshat, or you could say very, very, what do you call balbatish, you know, and maybe that's the more. That's what I think is perhaps the more correct shot. In other words, the question is, why is the Achsanai giving, he says, if you're an Achsanai, so you give some prutas to the Balabayas that you're staying in his house, and you yotzei this. So why didn't he have, why can't he light on his own? So the Mishnah Berurah says, Nechanami, he could light on his own. The Gemara never says he can't light. Most probably, the Pashup shot was that the Achsanai, he didn't have a menorah with him. What everyone carries, it's not like today, you can buy, everyone has menorahs because you go to Eichler's and you get your menorah, and everyone, they didn't, you know, it wasn't so, when you were home, you had a menorah at home, but you didn't have a carry menorah that with different size menorahs, this. So Achsanai, he didn't have a menorah. So Mamela, he was mishtatev bepruta. Today we have our own menorah, so pack your own menorah, light for yourself. That's what the Mishnah Berurah holds. And Rav Soloveitchik said differently, that it's a dafke din, that it has to be your bias, and therefore, if it's not your bias, so then you can't light. So Mamela, so that's why you have to be mishtatev bepruta. You can only piggyback on his hadlaka. And that was his psak. And it's interesting that we mentioned the Galia Masechta. So the Galia Masechta, not in the Sefer, but in a different Sefer, is quoted to have said the same thing as Rav Soloveitchik said. And the more common practice is that if somebody wants to light on their own and they're going away for Shabbos, they can bring their own menorah and they can light on their own. The question about Motzai Shabbos. So some posts can say on Motzai Shabbos, if right after Havdalah you're right out, so then wait till you get home. But if you're ready, you're hanging around for a couple of hours after Havdalah, so then you could even light there because you already made a kviyas in that makom. Okay, the last point we're going to talk about is Hadlaka Bebeis HaKnesses. Where did this come up, this idea that we're madlik in the Beis HaKnesses? So the Beis Yosef gives several interpretations. First he quotes the Kolbo, in the second line, Mishum Orchim. But there used to be guests. Today we have guests. Also we have guests. But we don't keep the guests in shul. We take them home after davening. And we feed them and we give them beds and stuff like that. But there's man of Chazal, when you were a guest in the community, that meant that the shul was nice enough to make avail you a bench in the back of the shul that you could sleep there, and they give you a room that you can eat your meals there, and you basically stayed in the shul. That's how the Gemara says that the minhag to make kiddush on Friday night in shul for the guests. What do you mean the guests? The guests who were eating in the shul, their mom is staying in the shul. Today we don't have such guests. We take our guests home with us. They just go to shul for Milcha Mar and then they come home with us. So that's so that was the original. That's how the Kolbo explains. But then the Beis Yosef quotes from the Rivash in the fifth Velosh and Rivash in the fourth line, the Tshuva. A minig la'adlik Beis Knesset minig v'sikinu mishum presumi nisa. He says like this, you got it all. He says that Bisman Chazal, we said they used to light outdoors. So there was a tremendous amount of Persume Nisa. So then they didn't light in the shuls then, Bisman Chazal. The Gemara never speaks about lighting in the shul. It's only Bisman Hazeh that we light what? Inside. And we said the main audience now is the insider. So now we're lacking on the Persume Nisa element. So then, since we're lacking on the Persume Nisa element, to supplant the lacking of Persume Nisa, we now light in the shul. That's how the Rivash explains. And we even make a bracha, Mishum Persume Nisa, which was very interesting, because you look at number 25, is the Psak of the Mechaber, and on Halal and Rosh Chodesh, we don't make it. Machabers, machlokis, machaber ramah, Ashkenazim, and Sephardim, whether you make a bracha on a minhag. And halal and Rosh Chodesh is only a minhag. So Sephardim don't make a bracha on halal and Rosh Chodesh because they don't make a bracha on a minhag. Ashkenazim do. But here, lighting in Hanukkah in the shul is only a minhag. It's not in Chazal, it's not in the Gemara. It's a later minhag. And yet the machaber says to make a bracha. So here he veers from, and that's in Chacham Tzvi, has a famous tshuva. We asked, what's up with the Mechaber here? He's veering from his normal shita. So the answer is yes, he's veering from his normal shita. And he's saying, and some say based on Rav Yaakov Emden, that Rav Yaakov Emden says that the bracha of Hadlokas Ner Chanukah is more important than regular Birkas HaMitzvah. Because it's part of the Persume Nisa, to make the bracha. So we make a bracha lahadlik ner shalchanaka, even in shul, because we want to, you know, announce publicly that that's the Persume Nisa. In fact, it's interesting that minhag in many yeshivas that by mincha they don't have a full chazara sashatz. In yeshivas there's no time. So you don't have a full chazara sashatz. In Lakewood, other places, that's the minhag. But Rav Aaron Kotler, at least I was told in certain times, during Chanukah was the one time in the year that at least on certain days of Chanukah would be makpir to have a full chazara sashatz. So this way you could say Al HaNisim out loud. For Persume Nisa. The rest of the year, they would have a Heicha Kedusha, but on Chanukah, they would have a full Chazar Sashas, at least on some days of Chanukah. There is a discussion, now, there's a discussion in the Poskim whether the din of, whether the din of this minhag is only for shuls, or even any public. People always discuss they have a wedding on Chanukah, so they want to know, can they have a public hadlaka in the wedding? So some people, Rav Soloveitchik was opposed. He felt that it's only in shul, and Rav Soloveitchik felt only between mincha marif in shul. And others say it doesn't have to necessarily between mincha marif, but only in shul. So this becomes an issue. Sometimes maybe if the chassan is in a hotel and the chassan kallel is sleeping there, so some say that maybe then the chassan could light the public hadlaka in the meal. So it's different opinions about that. But another important point is the question is, a lot of times this happens on Friday, that many shuls light before mincha on Friday, because if you're going to wait till after mincha on Friday to light, like to follow Rav Soloveitchik's Kepeda. So it once happened here, it would be baited by a hairbreadth that it shouldn't be Chil Shabbos, right? You don't want to have Chil Shabbos. So the minig is to light, in most shuls, they light before Mincha, because you don't want to. But then the question is, sometimes before Mincha, you're still waiting for the minion for Mincha. So you don't have 10 people. So the Magen Avraham writes in number 23, he says, don't worry, as long as the people are coming later, just like when you light in the street. So the people aren't there at the time necessarily, but they're going to come later. So as long as the 10 people are going to come later, that's okay. But the Shari Tshuva quotes from Rav Yaakov Emden that he feels, no, that there should be 10 people at the time of hadlaka, and to make a bracha on the hadlaka and shul, because the whole idea is, in other words, it's not enough that they're going to come later. So that's this machlok is between the Magen Avraham and the Rav Yaakov Emden. Okay, so we covered some of the basic halachas of Chanukah. I want to wish everyone that should have a freilich in Chanukah, a lichtach in Chanukah. And the key is that the hesoros of Chanukah, the dedication of Torah Shebaal Peh and of learning and of the family of Ner Yishuv Beiso should be heightened by our observance of Chanukah.
Thank you very much.